In 2003, an unknown and up-and-coming actor named Adrien Brody was called to the stage of the Kodak Theater to accept the Best Actor Oscar for his role in The Pianist. At 29, he became the youngest person ever to receive that award, and he celebrated as only a confident 20-something man would do by taking presenter Halle Berry into his arms and kissing her in the most famous moment of that night. Brody's almost a decade older now. In the years since sweeping Halle Berry off her feet, he starred in a number of very, very different films, including The Darjeeling Limited, King Kong, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, even the explosive action film Predators. His latest movie hits theaters today. It's called Detachment, and in it, Brody stars as Henry Barth, a substitute teacher with a secret past who never stays anywhere long enough to form a bond with his students or his colleagues.
That bag, it doesn't have any feelings. It's empty. I don't have any feelings you can hurt either, okay? I understand you're angry. I used to be very angry too, okay? I get it. You have no reason to be angry with me because I'm one of the few people that's here trying to give you an opportunity.
Detachment features an all-star cast, including Lucy Liu, Marcia Gay Harden, Christina Hendricks, Bryan Cranston, and James Caan. And it's directed by Tony Kaye, who's perhaps most famous for American History X. Adrien Brody joins us in studio now. And Adrien, I wonder, who do you think would benefit the most from seeing this movie? Students, parents, or teachers?
Well, if you're asking me who I would like to see this film,
right,
and who will respond the most,
who will get the most out of it?
I think it is a combination of parents and students. Teachers, I think, know the objective. There are too many obstacles, and even though this film is somewhat critical of the system that exists in the public education sector, and it's also critical of healthcare, but it's critical of the family system as well, and the dysfunction that exists that's so prevalent, and it beautifully depicts a very real problem that we're facing, which is that young people today feel very alienated and alone. And unfortunately, many adults feel similarly and are unable to perpetuating that cycle. And the key here is that education must begin at a very young age in the home. Education goes much further beyond a curriculum. It is all about what we absorb through the people that are meaningful around us. And some people don't have even enough attention, let alone the right influences so that they are open-minded and develop into having a self-confidence and individuality.
You know, there's one moment in the film where James Caan is sitting on a bench with Lucy Liu, and she's just had an outburst and said things that she didn't mean or perhaps shouldn't have to a student. And he says what I thought was probably one of the defining lines of the film, which was that, you know, the problem is nobody ever says thank you. I don't think he's really just talking about teachers and students here. I mean, he's involving all of our society here. And, you know, the title of the film, of this detachment of all of us either not acknowledging one another or purposely remaining apart. And I wonder if you feel that this movie condemns detachment more than anything else.
That form of detachment, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if it condemns detachment, meaning a feeling of being detached, because people are helpless to their emotions. That's part of the problem. And people are not aware even how detached they are. And I think so many people feel that their feelings of inadequacy, they harbor them, they hide them, their feelings of low self-esteem, whatever hardships that people encounter in their youth linger. And that is part of the grave issue. And when you feel a sense of isolation and separateness, it's very hard to feel connected with the rest of the world. And so many people feel this way. I think what James Caan's character was speaking about was a lack of recognition of the generosity that it takes to be a teacher in a public school. It's not a profession that is really appreciated
or
enough.
Or well paid.
Obviously not well paid. And there are all kinds of new pressures put on teachers by administration that is getting pressure from political, you know.
No Child Left Behind.
Right, exactly.
Does not come off well in this movie.
So, you know, that is a whole series of complex issues in and of itself. But again, focusing on what we can do as individuals with our own children and young people that are intimate with us is being more present. We have so many distractions, obviously. And, you know, you're bombarded with messages of the calamity that exists in the world and the economy and the future and people's job security is at risk and the internet and our Blackberries and every other thing that pulls us away from our present moment. And that would mean less time to be really focused on guiding your children or being there for young people.
You know, there are a huge number of school movies. I mean, if you look back through the history of movies, there's a vast number of them that take place, especially in high school. And a lot of these films are about transformative teachers, right? The hero teacher, Dead Poets Society, and Stand and Deliver. Mm-hmm. Why this one then? Why this one about teachers? Many of them are lost. You've got people going home to spouses that ignore them. Why this look at teachers' frailties?
Well, it hasn't really been examined in any of those films in depth, but it's everyone's frailty. It's a universal problem. That's what this film is saying, that it's that we're all human beings, we're all deeply flawed, and how challenging it must be for both an educator with all of these obstacles and also a young person in this world with all of these influences around them, whether it's ignorance or peer pressure or a troubled home that they're coming from, or abuse or whatever it is that prevents them from blossoming. And we have to be accountable. We have to be responsible adults. That comes with the territory. And I think that's what the film speaks about, how frail everyone is.
You know, I wonder, everybody says that when they do something like Predators, for example, their action film, their Pirates of the Caribbean. They say, well, I do that, so I'm able to do art films, right? I mean, that's everybody's line.
Oh, that was
line.
Not my reason, I mean, at all. And, you know, Predators was actually a relatively low-budget film. You know, it wasn't Pirates of the Caribbean. And the reason I was attracted to that so much was to kind of dispel this limitation that is imposed upon actors and based on a physicality. And if you noticed, and I appreciate you've done all this homework in my introduction about the types of films that I've done. I've deliberately tried to find things that are very different from the past film that I had done, and very different from things that are me. Predators, to me, was a perfect example of breaking the mold, both within Hollywood of it'd be very easy for them to follow in the footsteps of Schwarzenegger and find a brawny, physically imposing guy and recreate, you know, the genre. I thought, how much more interesting would it be to have someone who is not perceived to be this at all, but who is capable of conveying the emotional and psychological strength and hardness that a military, highly trained soldier might have. And if you look in the paper, you'll see that physically, my physical size in that film was not dissimilar to real soldiers. And very few looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime.
Do you get more leeway because you won the Oscar?
I would not have had that opportunity had I not won an Academy Award, no. And there was a lot of apprehension. There was a lot of apprehension on everyone's part, including the fans. And I ended up meeting fans at Comic-Con to support the film. And the most hardcore guys who have their own Predator outfits that rival the real ones, it was amazing, loved me and thanked me for bringing credibility back to the franchise. And it was a wonderful thing because there was all this snarky criticism at first about, you know, all this stuff, and that feels good.
So the new movie is called Detachment. It stars Adrian Brody and an all-star cast. It's in theaters in limited release today.
I was noticing that as you were doing that interview, all the guys kind of shuffled off, and a lot of the women found important things to do around the control room.
He's
in
a
the
charming,
corridor
charming
while he was
man,
coming in.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, our listeners are talking about this statistic. By the end of 2012, no more than two of the nation's 150 senators and governors will be African-American. A listener named Nikki says, "Give me a break. What country is this?" And Herb from Detroit posted on Facebook, "With Barack Obama's election, a certain segment of white folk went wild. A black person could only get a vote if they're a Republican." And Norris says, "Are we ignoring the obvious likely answer that no one who's qualified and electable has tried running for office? Are we just going to pretend it's absolutely about race?" Well, lots of responses. 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm Dan Damon, in for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great weekend. This is The Takeaway.